Good morning, church. How you doing today? You doing well? What an honor to be with you and to share the Word of God together. Excited because I believe that what we're going to talk about today is going to set context for what we all experience together in worship today. It's also going to set context for how to live out every single day of our lives, doing our best to follow Jesus. And so if you want to follow along and take notes, the title of the message is simply Taste and See. And we're going to be reading from Psalm 34 as well as John chapter 4. And before we jump in, it's important to acknowledge and give honor to leadership. Anytime somebody's filling a pulpit that isn't theirs, God has entrusted this pulpit to Pastor Rob and to Pastor Kirk. And so us being up here, we don't take this moment lightly. And so it's appropriate to honor and celebrate. Can we make some noise and appreciate Pastor Rob and Becca, as well as Pastor Kirk and Kaylee? We love you. We love you.
Love you so much. Hey, well, we're excited to hang with you. We're just going to hang. We're just going to chat for a little bit. Does that sound good? Okay, cool. Like you said, my name is Pastor Rachel, and I just want to know, have you guys ever, like, invited somebody like over to your house and then kind of like immediately you're like, ooh, I don't know if like my house is big enough to host. I don't know. So I have to tell you guys a story, okay? So it feels kind of funny to say, but it's all good. So I'm dating someone. Ooh, so exciting. He's a drummer. What a guy. Okay. So we were gonna have like a date night in. We were gonna cook some beef. Okay, we're really excited about this. And he turns to me and he's like, hey, I think we should invite my parents over. And I was like, that is a great idea. Let's invite the parents over. So we invite the parents over. And then he calls me the next day and he's like, oh, yeah. By the way, I invited my brother-in-law and sister over. And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess we'll invite everybody. Now, you just have to know something about the house that I live in, okay? So I live in South Minneapolis. My duplex is like 800 square feet, maybe, okay? So we already have six people coming over. And just so you know, I don't have a kitchen table and I don't have chairs. So I was like, this could get interesting. I literally have a free couch and a love sack, which was just like a purchase that I made that was probably the worst purchase, but also the greatest. So I was like, okay, cool, yeah, sit on the love sack, I guess, while you eat your dinner. And then he called me and he's like, oh, by the way, I invited my cousin over. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I have like the environment for this. Like, literally, I didn't even have enough glasses for water. It was honestly, I felt a little, like, insecure in that moment. But they came over, and honestly, regardless of the environment, regardless of my living situation, it was all about an experience. We literally invited them to taste food, to see where I lived, and it ended up being one of, like, the sweetest nights that we had ever had because it was about an experience, right? It wasn't about the environment or if I did have something or if I didn't have something. And this reminds me exactly what Pastor Caleb and I are going to talk to you about today, that God has an invitation for you to taste and see his goodness every single day, no matter the environment, no matter the place. It's not just in here, it's outside of these four walls. But God has an invitation for you. I just think of him as like a host, like, yeah, come on in, taste my food, see what I'm about, experience me for yourself. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today.
It really is a beautiful thing. And the principle is this, that our expectation, it shapes our experience. The story that Rachel is sharing, there is an expectation of that caused a little bit of stress. Like, I don't have the cups.
A lot of stress.
I don't have the furniture. I don't have what I need for this experience. Meanwhile, all of her guests have the expectation that we're going to be together.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome. In the same way, I think sometimes in life, we put expectations on God or expectations on our life that cause stress, that cause anxiety. Meanwhile, God has expectations for us to taste and see his goodness. Psalm 34:8 says this. Let's read it together. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. What a promise and what a scripture for you and I today to acknowledge the fact that God has good things in store for you. How many of you know that sometimes we get enthralled with what the world has to offer? Different things that make us feel good, different things that maybe cause us feel fulfillment. But how many of you know the things that the world has to offer are temporary? They will fade. Yes. The things that God has to offer are eternal and long-lasting and will last forever. And each and every day, you don't have to wait for a church service to experience a powerful moment in the presence of God to taste and see that he is good. No, friend. The goodness of God is available each and every day, and it's something that we ought to live in and walk in and receive every single day. And so what we're going to do, we're going to read a scripture from John chapter 4 and glean some truth. As we read scripture, scripture is going to read us, and we're going to glean some principles how we can live in this daily goodness, believing that today, to use the taste metaphor, that God's going to expand our taste buds, believing that God's going to cleanse our palates together today. So John chapter 4, starting at verse 5 through 26, says this. So he, being Jesus, traveling, doing ministry, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field of Jacob that had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, and just then a woman from Samaria, you can underline that if you're following along, highlight that, a woman from Samaria, descriptive words that are meaningful that we're going to talk about in a moment. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria? And the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans in this time." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God," this is the same message that applies for us today. "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would giving you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, but you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is so deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, as she's making excuses for why she doesn't deserve or can't obtain this living water, he says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give you, give him will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." She is ready. And I believe us today, we need to be saying this. "Give me this water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." This is where it gets a little bit tough, how Jesus addresses her. She's like, she's ready. She's ready to have this water. Awkward moment. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and tell him to come here." And the woman answered, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe in me. The hour is coming when neither this mountain nor Jerusalem will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Now catch this. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ." She still doesn't understand who she's talking to. "When he comes, he will tell us all these things." And Jesus has this moment. Jesus says to her, "I who speak to you am he."
So good. So powerful. So like Pastor Caleb said, if you're taking notes, this is going to be the first point that we're just going to dive into this story that we just heard. And the first thing is engage in the offer. And this is going to be from John 4, 4 through 12. Now, this story is so interesting to me because, first of all, Jesus approaches this woman and he asks for water. Now, there's a few things that are like, whoa, about this part of the story. The fact that it's a Jew coming up to a Samaritan, there was tons of division and segregation between Jews and Samaritans in that time. Like, this was like, what are you even doing talking to this woman? Like, this is not cool, okay? So Jesus approaches her, but then even further, it's a man approaching a woman. So everyone's just like, if you're watching from the outside, you're observing, you're like, this is not good. This is not right culturally, okay? So in the context, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that's what it was like back then. And something that just kind of stood out to us as we were talking through this is that the woman, she was just like surprised. She's like, what? You, a Jew coming up to a Samaritan, you, a man coming up to a woman asking me for water. And so she starts to become hesitant, or like you said, offer some excuses. Or what I like to see is she kind of disqualifies the situation. She disqualifies. Jesus is offering her something, and she's like, wait a second. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. I think like the well's too deep. She's kind of disqualifying this moment of an offer where she's like, I don't know. She's making the decision. Do I engage in this offer? Or do I not? So then obviously Jesus responds and says, if you only knew who I was, you would be asking me for water. Also, can I just pause and say how confusing it must have been to live back then? You're like, excuse me, sir, you're living water? What are you actually talking about? I just would have been so confused. And he was always like, the time is not now. I was like, what's the time? Anyways. Weird. Like, come on, be straight, man. But yeah, so he offers her and says, if you only knew who I was, you'd actually be asking me. So he gives her another opportunity. He gives her another offer, gives her another moment to engage. And I think this is so cool because it shows God's kindness and his mercy for you and for me. He's not just going to offer one thing one time, and if you don't take it, oof, you missed out. Not a chance. He's going to continually offer things to you. But guess what? You have to engage. You have to step into it. You have to want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just be like, maybe next time. He'll still offer it to you because that's just who God is. That's just who he is. He's kind and he's gracious. But you have to start engaging. I have to start engaging. And this is just on my heart. Somebody who engages in an offer really well. I just want to honor somebody in this room. Lori Yeomans. If you know, Pastor Greg is our care pastor, and he's awesome. And we love them. We love Greg and Lori. And Lori, you are someone that I see constantly engaging in what God has to offer you. I know that you're believing for healing. And I know that you're believing for that. And God is offering that. Whether it's here or in heaven, he's offered it. And it's a promise. But you engage. You step into it. You constantly seek for more. And I just God needed you to know that he loves the way that you engage with his offer. So engage in the offer, engage in the offer that Jesus is giving to you, because it's every day, all the time, all around you. So what we do or do not allow ourselves to engage with determines our experience with God. What we do or do not allow ourselves to engage with, you could be invited to a worship night every night. You could be invited to church every single weekend, but until you accept that invitation, then you can experience. But also, we'll talk about it a little bit more. You don't always have to. God is, like I said, who he is. He's kind and he's gracious, but he's encouraging us today to engage in the offer.
Yeah, thought number two is this. You jot this down. is believe in the promise. Engage in the offer. That's not a spectator sport. We need to engage, but also believe in the promise. And I love the back and forth that Jesus has with this woman, because she's negotiating her way almost out of what God wants to do. And how often do we do this? God wants to do something new in our lives, and we remind God how disqualified we are, or the thing that we're struggling with, or instead of just receiving and believing, we almost get caught up in what we got to do to get right before we can experience what God has for us. No, taste and see. Believe in the promise. And the promise is eternal living water. The promise is that you will never thirst again. The water that I offer, if you drink from this well, Jesus says, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink from what I have to offer, you'll never thirst again. You and I can drink from that water today. Today we can drink from that water, and it requires believing in the promise. Here's what this means. On our journey of faith, there are moments, pivotal moments, where Jesus invites us to draw a line in the sand and step across it. The pivotal moment is verse 15. I don't know if you caught it, but the woman says, give me this water. I'm ready. She's leaning in. As Pastor Rachel was saying, that Jesus doesn't force his way in. He graciously offers. And then there's a bit of back and forth and negotiating that oftentimes we do. And he waits for this moment where she says, give me this water. I'm ready. My question to you today is, do you have that posture? And I don't mean just like in a pivotal moment. Like maybe you're at a crossroads in life, and so today has felt like epic. Like because of whatever you're going through, you felt like, wow, this is for me. This day, this worship set, this message, this is for me. And maybe you're here, and your relationship with the Lord has gone apathetic. Maybe it's gone cold. Maybe you've gone apprehensive in the presence of God because you've experienced Him before, but you've missed this continual living water that is always offered. Maybe we've grown cold to the supernatural that God wants to do in the natural here and now. Maybe we've seen Him do it before, but you and I, we need to re-engage, but also believe in the promise. That God is true to His word, that He's the one who extends the offer, and He's the one who secures the promise. And it's up to us to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm ready. Yeah. This is my moment. Today is my day, not just in a church service, but every day I wake up, every day I have air in my lungs, I'm crossing the line saying, God, what do You have for me today? I want what You have. It's an eternal promise. Believe in the promise.
Yes. Yeah, so you can taste and see God's goodness when we engage in the offer, when we believe the promise, and then the last point is receive the blessing, which comes from John 4, 16 through 26. So this is honestly my favorite part in the story. I don't know if you guys have ever seen The Chosen, but Jesus, shout out to The Chosen. Jesus just feels like a relatable guy to me, you know, because sometimes he's kind of like a little like sassy, and I'm like, yeah. Nice, I like that. Because honestly, in this story, you kind of are like, because he goes, hey girl, go get your husband. And then obviously he already knows what's about to happen. And she's like, I don't have a husband. He's like, correct, you have five. And you're like, ha! Whoa, that's intense. And then he adds, and he's like, just to put the dagger in, you know, he's like, and actually the person you're living with actually isn't even your husband. Spirit and truth, though, you know, he's just being honest. But I love this moment because as he says those things, it's becoming clear to her who he is. This can't just be some prophet. I think this is the one, the Messiah. And I think he's got something to offer me. And I'm actually starting to believe this promise. And I'm actually ready to receive his blessing. I love this depiction because she's in a mess, you guys. And for us to taste and see God's goodness, our environment and our situations don't have to look perfect for us to taste and see God's goodness. It doesn't. It's not a requirement for him. I remember in college, one of my best friends, it was after we graduated college, she got diagnosed with cancer. And it was really serious cancer. And it was one of the first times in my life that I was like, whoa, God, what are you doing? She's got way too much life left to live. No way, no way, no way, no way. And I remember her and I, we sat, she called me at like 1 a.m. and she's like, Rachel, I just have to tell you, like, this is my situation. And I'm like, we're bawling together, we're praying. And I had to have a moment with God. And I had a lot of moments with God. This wasn't just a one-time thing. I constantly wrestled with him and I'm like, what is going on? No, this is not right. This is not right. You can't take her yet. But I remember there's a moment that I had to engage, right? I had to engage with God and talk to him about it. I had to talk to him about the things that I was feeling. I had to believe or remember the promise that he said, right? That he is eternal, that it goes beyond this earth. And then I had to receive the blessing, which for me in that moment was peace. Peace knowing, and I said, you know what, God, even if you take her from this world, I still trust that you are good. And I still trust that I will taste and see your goodness. And I still know, regardless of an environment or situation, this woman was living in sin. But God still offered her goodness. He still offered her more. And that's what he has for you today. Your situation doesn't have to look perfect for you to engage, believe, and receive. It's generally the direct opposite. You're like, my life's a mess. What do you got? You know? Seriously, though, this is just, it's so cool what God does. And one thing that really stuck out to me was verse 27, that after this happened, the disciples were like, do you see Jesus talking to that Samaritan woman? How could he? Like, they were shocked. Like, oh my word. I'm sorry. They've seen like so many miracles at this point, and they're surprised that he's crossing boundaries. I'm like, yo, you guys saw some crazy stuff before, you know, like, and they're like, oh my goodness, this is wild. What? No, we have to expect that we're going to taste and see God's goodness every single day. And like Pastor Caleb said, supernatural, it's natural. It's normal. This isn't like, wow, I can't believe God would want to heal me. I can't believe God would want more for me. No, he does. And we should expect that. Instead of it being supernatural, it's natural because God sent his son Jesus on earth to die on a cross for your sins. And he brought it here. He brought heaven here. It's normal. It's natural for him to heal. We should celebrate, but it shouldn't be like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. No, every day. We can taste, and you can taste and see God's goodness when you engage in the offer, when you believe the promises that he has in his word, and then you get to receive the blessing.
Yes, receive the blessing. Wasn't that good? Can we just give God thanks?
I'm warm. I'm hot. I'm sweaty.
Go ahead and preach. The goodness of God, the goodness of God is salvation for our souls. Forgiveness of sins. The goodness of God is miraculous healing. The goodness of God is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's the goodness of God. It's who he is. Psalm 139 verse 5 says this, referring to the goodness of God. This is how the goodness of God operates. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. The goodness of God, it leads us and it follows us. The goodness of God, it leads us and it follows us. I don't know, maybe you can think of a time in your life where you realize, man, looking back, you shouldn't be where you are if not for the goodness of God and his provision on your life. Maybe you've had to take a step of faith in your life where it maybe didn't make sense on paper, but you sense like God doing something in you that I got to take a step that maybe people around me or maybe the world would say that's not a wise decision. And yet on the inside, you're sensing this is how God's leading. That's God's goodness. It leads us and it follows us. For the sake of time, we're not going to read it, but I want to refer to a story in John chapter 2. It's Jesus' first miracle recorded in Scripture. Jesus is attending a wedding celebration. And at this celebration, this wedding reception, they run out of wine. And culturally, that would have brought shame on the family. Like, you don't run out of wine at a wedding reception. And Mary, Jesus' mother, says, Jesus, you got to do something. You got to do something. And Jesus says, no, now's not my time. And his mom says, now's the time. And she tells the servants, do whatever he says. And so what does Jesus do? He does the miracle. Maybe you've heard of it. Turning water into wine. That the wine is overflowing. That the quality of the wine was better than the wine that they started with, which is the opposite of what they normally do. Normally, they would wait, as well as people are drinking, they would save the not so great stuff for the end. People wouldn't notice. Jesus does the opposite. I don't know if you've ever noticed this about that story. But who knew about the miracle? The people attending the wedding or the servants serving the wine? So good. The people attending had no idea. They had no idea that there was a shortage. They had no idea that the wine had run out. And meanwhile, the servants are witnessing this panic into a miracle. That's the goodness of God, allowing the servants to see, wow, this truly is something remarkable. This is something special. This is something that doesn't make sense. The goodness of God is leading us in this moment, and I get to witness a miracle. But the goodness of God also follows us. The fact that the people at that wedding reception had no idea that the miracle had happened. How many times in your life, how many times in my life has the goodness of God been poured out on my life and I had no idea? And yet right now, today, is an opportunity to witness and to acknowledge, wow, the goodness of God has actually been on my life. The hand of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God has been on my life and I didn't even know it. How much better it is to live in a way where we let the goodness of God lead us, knowing that he's the one and his goodness hems us in before and hems us in behind. The invitation is here today.
Yeah, it's so good. So just to wrap it up, we just want to encourage you, engage in what God is offering you today. There's something for each and every person in this room, but step into it. Step into it. Listen to the prompt. Those things that are in your spirit, that's not a coincidence. That's God nudging you and speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit. Engage in what he's offering you. Believe his promise and believe the word that he really is the living water and that nothing here on this earth will satisfy. Only his living, eternal water and a relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to last forever. And we were talking in the lobby to some people, and it's so interesting to see, like, you know, I want this job, and then I want the promotion, and then I want more money, and then this more money is going to get me a bigger house, and then the bigger house is going to get me a bigger house, and more houses and cabins, and the list goes on. And I don't know about you, but when I think about that, it can feel exhausting to be chasing goodness, success, whatever that is. But like Pastor Caleb said, believe his word and allow God's goodness to chase you as well. And receive the blessing today. Receive God's goodness. Yes, we need to engage, but like you said, there's times where he just is going to come after you regardless, and he's not going to stop, and it's not going to be a pressure. It's not going to be a force thing. He's just going to keep letting you know, and maybe that's you today. Like, you're feeling it again, like, ooh, what is that? Yep. That's God. That's God speaking to you and saying that he has blessings that he wants to pour out on your life. So how can I sit any longer? I need to engage in the offer that God is giving me. And I need to believe his promise. And I need to receive the blessing today. Don't wait another moment to taste and see God's goodness. Don't wait another moment. So we're going to close our eyes and bow our heads. Jesus, just thank you. Thank you for your goodness. I know Pastor Caleb and I have so many moments in our life where we can just think right now, like, whoa, I tasted and I saw God's goodness, whether we felt deserving of it or not. And there might be people in this room that don't feel deserving to to taste and see God's goodness. But you're here to shatter that right now. You're here to tell people that you do deserve God's goodness on your life. That you're worth it to him. You're worth it to him. And it's nothing we did, Jesus. It's nothing that we did to deserve it. It's just because we're your creation and you love us. We're so thankful for that.